Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
I believe he speaks to us, but I believe he's going to say something to you. He's either going to say something to you about your now or your next. And so I encourage you, open up the notes section on your phone, get you a pen or pencil ready, and get ready to write, because Jesus himself is going to speak in the house tonight. This is our final installment in, I think this is our sixth installment in the series, Jesus Said. Turn to your neighbor and say, if Jesus said it, then I believe it, and that settles it. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Our deep dive concludes tonight into Matthew chapter 7. I encourage you to go back and read it. But to get the full context, read chapters 5 and 6 with it, because it is the words of Christ in the most powerful sermon that had ever been preached. There's a lot of foundational truth about how to live. You know, when we were lost and we received Christ and received salvation, that, of course, solved our hell issue. How many of you know that you were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, the Bible says, and that we are all born with a sin issue? And a sin issue unresolved leads to a hell issue. How many of you know that hell is not your future home? There's a place called heaven that, as we sit here tonight and as we worship tonight, we serve a God that is so big that he stepped in the middle of our worship, and with one hand he drew us close, but with the other hand he is preparing a place so that at the end of our life here we can go there. But I want to encourage you, I don't want to teach you how to die tonight. I want to teach you how to live. How to live in abundance, and how to live a life that matters, and how to live a life that has impact. And so Matthew 7 is dealing with those things. And we've talked about the first six foundational truths very quickly. Do not judge others. How to pray effective prayers. The golden rule, how we treat others. The narrow gate, which road we need to get on, the highway to hell or the narrow path and the narrow gate. 2 weeks ago, we talked about discerning the tree and the fruit. And last week, we talked about what it means to be a true disciple. And tonight, we're going to talk about building on a solid foundation or a firm foundation. How many of you know a foundation matters? It matters at your house, and it matters in your spiritual life and in your growth with God. What I love about a foundation is, what I've learned about a foundation is it is the least appealing visually, but it's the most important thing of any building. Nobody has ever driven up to your house, as nice as your house may be. It might be the biggest house in the Dominion. If it is the biggest house in the Dominion, I need to know you, and we need to come pray at your home. But I don't know anybody that's ever had someone drive up to their house as nice as it is and say, man, that is some foundation. Beautiful. I lived in a house in New Braunfels right at the edge of the hill country for a few years, and on the big hill that it lived on, or that we lived on and that it was built on, one side was level, but my foundation on the back side and corner of the house was about 5 feet out of the ground. And what we did was we planted things around it to hide the foundation, because the foundation visibly is the least appealing thing. However, it is the most important thing. Can I encourage you as a believer, new believers in the room and online watching tonight, can I encourage you, don't rush the foundation. Don't rush the process to get to the thing that everybody's going to ooh and ah about. I know people talk about how beautiful the paint samples are and what you did here and what tile you used and what backsplash you used. But can I encourage you, those things can be interchangeable and changed out. But your foundation is what's going to matter when the floods come, the rains come, and the storms come. And it's not a matter of if they come, but when they come, your house will stand, or your life will stand. Matthew chapter 7 verse 24, so we're going to dive back into the final verses of chapter 7. Jesus said this: anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. I did a deep dive on anyone in the Greek. Do you know what anyone in the Greek means? Anyone. It means everyone. It means no one is left out. Jesus lays down this truth, and he said, anyone that is born that hears my teaching and does them and follows it, he said, is wise. It is as if you are building a foundation on a solid rock. The word of God is not prejudiced. The word of God is not discriminatory in any fashion, and it is not biased against anybody. Meaning this, that the word works no matter what. Pastor and I, Bishop and I, and Pastor Beck and I have talked, and I've had this conversation with the pastoral team and Sister Tammy and others, that there's a lot of times where I feel personally that when someone comes to a counseling session with myself and Pastor Mandy or with one of our leaders, I feel like they're disappointed by what words we offer, because we offer them the word of God. And it's almost they're saying, well, if I knew that's all you were going to give me, I would have read it for myself. And I'm thinking, if that's all you needed, you should have read it for yourself. And so there's a lot of times that there is things that God is saying, and none of God's words are wasted. Everything he said needed to be said, and the word of God will work in every situation for anybody at any time. There has never been a time, and there will never be a time. There has never been a place, and there will never be a place. There has never been a person, and there will never be a person that the word of God will not work if it is followed in their life. You say, Pastor Brandon, that is so simple. Oh, it is so simple. But a lot of times we miss the simple truths while we are digging for a deeper truth, when there is no deeper truth unless you have first found the simple truth. The word works when you work it. The word works when you work it. The word works not when you declare it, not when you memorize it, not when you... The word works when you say, this is what the word of God said. This is how I'm going to apply it to my life. This is the principle I'm going to walk out. It will work. For those of us that have been around farms and ranches, we know the power of a seed. We know the purpose of a seed. But you don't have to have a farm to understand when you plant seeds, you expect something to happen. What's the purpose of a seed? The purpose of a seed is to grow. The purpose of a seed is to produce something, to produce fruit. When a seed is sown into good ground, what does it do? A seed into good ground grows. It matures. It flourishes. It produces. But when that same seed is thrown into bad ground, what does it do? That seed dies. That seed withers. That seed does not accomplish what it is supposed to do. To accomplish. Listen what I'm saying very carefully, church. The seed never takes into account the age of the sower. The seed never looks at the gender of the sower. The seed does not look at the color of the sower's skin. The seed does not look at the socioeconomic background of the sower. The seed does not even look at how long the sower has been living for God, how much word they've memorized, and how long they've been coming to church. The seed says, I have one job and one job only. Put me into good ground, and I'm going to grow for you, flourish you, produce for you, and multiply you for the rest of your life. Somebody say, the seed has one job. Luke chapter 8, verse 11. It's the parable of the seed and the sower and the different types of soil. But I don't want to break all that down tonight. I just want to tell you verse 11 in chapter Luke, when Jesus said, this is the meaning of that parable. The seed is God's word. The word of God, let's go back just about 30 seconds. The word of God does not care how old you are, what color you are, what gender you are. The word of God does not matter. It doesn't matter to the word how long you've been coming to Living Way and how long you've been following Jesus. The word of God is saying, I have one job in the believer's life. And if you will put me to work, I will grow you. I will flourish you. I will produce for you and multiply for you the rest of your life. Write this down. If the word is not working in your life, you are not working the word. If the word is not working in your life, you are not working the word. And I made sure to say it exactly like I just said it. When the word of God is not working in your life, because I promise you this, it might not be working in your life because you refuse to work it, but that word is working somewhere. My God will supply all of my needs. You say, Pastor, that word's not working for me. Oh, it's working for a lot of people. It might not be working in your life because you refuse to work it, but that word is working somewhere at some point. And you cannot tell me that God loves them more than he loves you, because God is no respecter of person. Could it be that that person is willing to work the word and follow God in a way that maybe we are not? By the stripes of his back, we are healed. Well, that's not working for me. That word might not be working in you because you refuse to work that word. But somewhere on planet Earth, and most likely somewhere in this building, that word is working. Praise God. You know how I know the word of God when it comes to healing is working? Because the fact that you're healthy, the fact that you don't have anything wrong with you, that is healing perpetually all the time. You don't have to receive a healing to be healed. You can walk in healing. I'm not sick today. That's why the word works. If the word is not working in your life, you are not working the word. Earlier in this series, I used Isaiah chapter 55, 11, but I love it in the New Living Translation as it relates to seed. It is the same with my word, says God through Isaiah. I send it out and it always produces fruit. Always means always. Well, it's not producing fruit in my house. It's producing fruit somewhere. It's producing fruit in somebody's life. It might as well be your life. And if you see God doing something in somebody else's life, instead of hating them and complaining to him, you need to find out, what are they doing that I'm not doing? Let me ask them. Let me hear their testimony and their witness. It is the same with my word. As I send it out, it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all that I want to. Remember, all that God wants to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. Let's go back to verse 24. Anyone who listens, somebody say listens. Listen and hearing is completely different. Your kids hear everything you say. They just don't listen. There's a lot of stuff we hear from God. We just don't listen to God. Let me tell you my problem. Let me tell on myself. So many times I miss what people are saying because I am listening or hearing to respond. I'm already planning what I'm going to say, so I miss out on what they're saying. Can I encourage you? And all the kids are next door, so I have freedom to say exactly how I want to say it tonight. In your personal prayer time, can you make 2 minutes and just shut up? And just say, God, you've heard from me the last 15 minutes, but God, I need to hear from you for the next 2 minutes. I need you to talk back. I need you to give me direction. I need you to give me correction. I need you to do something in me. Can I encourage? Some of us are hearing God, but we are not listening to God. And this is the definition God gave me for listening. Listening is when we hear with the intention of doing. I'm not just hearing you. I'm listening, God, to what you say, and I plan on doing something with the word of God. I can make this guarantee to all of us, church, that in the next 10 and a half months, by 2025, if every time we read the word of God, we read the word of God with this in mind. All right, I know what the word says. Now, God, what do you want me to do with that word? How do I apply that word to my spiritual life? How do I apply that word to my marriage? How do I apply that word to my children? God, I don't want to just read, and I don't want to just check a box and read the Bible in a year. I want your word to speak to me and draw things out of me and draw me to a deeper place. Somebody say amen to that. Listening is hearing with the intention of doing. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Here's what Jesus said you have to do and I have to do for him to call you wise. Doesn't matter if someone else calls you wise. I want God to call me wise. In the New Testament, at least 14 different times that we know of, and I think for the 14 that are written, there's probably 100 times for every one where Jesus literally walked up to someone and said, follow me. 14 times it is written and recorded in scripture that Jesus walks up to somebody he doesn't know and that really doesn't have a relationship with him and says two words. He says, follow me. And a lot of us are saying, man, if he had talked to me like he talked to Simon, if he had talked to me and called me like he did Andrew, and I would say yes. Can I encourage you? He does talk to us the same way. Because here he says, if you hear my teachings and follow. Every time we read the word of God, get this, church, it's Jesus saying, follow me. When you read about the Holy Spirit, Jesus is saying, follow me. Let me bring you into a new revelation about my spirit. When you read something about healing, it's not for a magnet for your refrigerator. Jesus is saying, follow me from sickness into health. When you read something about money, he's saying, hey, follow me from poverty into prosperity. When we were lost, and he said, follow me. He's saying, follow me from eternity without me in a place called hell to a place called heaven where you and I will be together forever. Can I tell you, every time you open the Bible app or every time you open the physical Bible and word and hold it in your hand, it is an invitation that Jesus is saying, hey, believer, come deeper with me. Hey, believer, let me bring you to a place. Follow me to a place you've never been. That blessed me today. You know why that blessed me today when I was going over this again? Is I've been walking with God since I was 18 years old. And I'm talking about really walking with him since I was 18. For 24 years. And every time I open the Bible, God is still saying, hey, there's still ground to gain. There's still deeper places you can go. There's still a farther place you can follow me to. Somebody say, follow Jesus. So he says, listen to my teaching and follow it, and you will be wise. Listening plus following equals wisdom. Remember what James said about hearers and doers. Those that hear, those that listen and do. Jesus said, you're wise. You're wise. Matthew 7, verse 24 through 27 is not a warning about the storms of life, because we're going to hear about those storms in a little bit, because he's talking about building on the foundation. This is not a warning about storms, but it is rather a declaration on the importance of a foundation. This whole series is called Jesus Said. If Jesus said it, I want to follow it. I want to live it, because I know it's going to add value to my life, and it's going to lead me to an eternal place with him. Listening to Jesus and following Jesus, church, is building your life on a strong foundation. Jesus and his word are that foundation. 1 Peter 2 calls Jesus the chief cornerstone. Verse 25, Jesus says, though the rain comes in torrents, though the floods rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it's built on a bedrock. We're going to get back to it won't collapse here in just a minute. But first thing we need to talk about is what God guarantees is going to happen in your life. He said it's not a matter of if the rain comes. Where does the rain come from? Above. He said the rain's going to come in rushing and waving torrents. He said the floodwaters are going to rise. Where do the floodwaters come from? Below. And he said the wind is going to blow. Where's the wind? It affects around us. He said when the perfect storm shows up in your life and you're getting pressure from above and you're getting pressure from below, and you're getting pressure from all around you, he said, those that build on the foundation of what I have said, he said, your house will not collapse. Isn't that awesome? It won't collapse. The wind's getting pretty bad. It won't collapse. Man, we've never seen rain like this. It won't collapse. Man, those flood waters are rising. It won't collapse. I remember 7 years ago when I walked through neighborhood after neighborhood after Hurricane Harvey dumped 60 inches of rain on Houston. And this church helped us raise thousands of dollars. And we filled up a big 24-foot trailer of supplies. And Mandy and I and a team went to the heart of Houston. And we helped dig out houses. And we helped tear sheetrock down. I'll never forget all of the carnage we saw, but I didn't see one house that had fallen down. Sure, they were messy. Sure, they were dirty. Sure, we had to gut some things out and tear some things out, but when we got to the studs, they were dry. But I stood on the foundation of dozens of houses that day, and I'm here to tell you, 2023 might have been messy. You might have some things that we've got to get out in 2024, but I'm here to tell you, as long as your foundation is built on Jesus, you will not fail and it will not collapse. Can I just pause and say, whoever's running sound tonight, you are doing good. And if the sound is this good every Wednesday and Thursday or Sunday, I can preach till I'm 120 years old. Our promise, church, is that the house that is built on the firm foundation of Jesus and his word will not collapse. Remember, this is not a commentary on the storm. This is a commentary on the foundation. You know what I love about the foundation is as long as I build the foundation, the storm doesn't matter. Small, big, a storm every other month. You know, my heart goes out to our friends on the Gulf Coast because they have these hurricanes run through, just damage all that is in their homes and their churches and their cities, and they rebuild, and it could happen the next month again. It could happen 5 months in a row, and they keep. But I'm here to tell you, as a believer, I can stand so assuredly in 2024 and tell you it does not matter what kind of storm the enemy has planned in my future. I am not looking at the storm radar. I am building my foundation and making sure it is strong. So he gives us two examples in chapter 7. He said one builds on the sand, and one builds on the rock. Here's the difference between the two homes and the two builders. One wanted to do it quick, and one wanted to do it right. Well, I thought I'd get a better amen right there. Impatience will kill God's provision, God's purpose, and God's plan for your life. Don't do it quick. If God wants to do it quick, he can expedite the process. But I would rather it be done right than for it to be done quick. Since last Sunday, they brought a lift in. And that lift, they were able to finally kill that buzz that's been annoying the ushers in the back and the backseat believers that come to Living Way. And we love backseat believers, praise God. It's better up close, but we love the backseat believers too. But it took two guys half a day to lay down the plywood, to bring in the lift. You know why it took them half a day to do a job that took them 5 minutes? Because the lift is only about this much less than the width of these aisles. I'm on our teams all the time. We got to be quick. Let's get it done. We're wasting time. Time is money. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. But you know what I didn't want tonight? I didn't want 15 pews to be in pieces in the back of this room. Sometimes going slow and being deliberate and making sure that you're building the right way is better than getting it up quick. And I want to encourage somebody. I know you want God to find your mate before it's February 14th, before the next February. But could it be that God's got some things the next couple years in your life that he wants to get your foundation ready? Or could it be that Mr. Right now is not Mr. Right? And if you got him today, it would be over by October. We don't want it quick. We want it right. So here's the thing, church. You got to dig deep to find the rock. You got two lots. You got one guy building on top of the sand. You got one guy that's digging. What you digging for? I'm finding a rock that I can build on. What are you waiting for? Man, I'm already putting up the walls. I'm already hanging sheetrock over here. Oh, I know what you're doing, but the same storm is going to hit both of our houses, and all of this quick work you're putting up is going to be for waste. But when the storm shows up, I will have found the rock. I want you to keep digging until you find the rock. Verse 26, here's the warning. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey is foolish. Like a person who builds house on sand. One of my pet peeves, church, is pouring into someone through mentorship and them not listening to a word I say. I feel that way, but I wonder how God feels when we do that every day of our lives. We read it, we hear it, but we don't listen to it. He sent his only son, Jesus, to die on a cross to activate and give authority to his word. He did all of that just so we could keep scrolling and not live it. Just so we could read the Bible every day, three verses, and it's going to change our life. Not if all you do is read it. He's pouring into us and we're not doing anything with it. Can you put up the picture for me real quick? All the people that cook and spend some time in the kitchen, you know what that is? That's a colander. The problem with that is a lot of our lives look like this. And you can't retain anything. I'm going to read it like I wrote it so I don't miss it. It's not that God's not pouring. It's that some of us are not retaining. We receive it, but we do not retain it. There's a lot of ways that we don't retain it. The Bible talks about do not put out your pearls before swine. Some of us, God gives us something great only for us to dump it out and waste it on things and people who do not understand, do not comprehend, and do not know what a true relationship with Jesus looks like. And so some of us pour it out. Some of us have surrounded ourselves with only takers, and they will bleed you dry. I remember the first time I gave blood, I didn't know how much blood they were going to take. And they kept taking, and they kept taking, and they kept taking. There's some takers in your life. Bishop Priest, I wish it's somewhere on a cassette, probably somewhere, but he preached for many weeks in the old building, the suckers gotta go. Everything that is sucking out of your life, everything that is sucking the word of God. See, there's a difference between you taking it from me and me giving it to you. I'll give you anything that you need, but what I will not stand for is you taking it when I'm not looking, when I was not ready to give it yet. And some of us are that colander. God pours in us on Wednesday and it goes out 100 different ways by Thursday. God pours in us on Sunday and people continually reach in for the rest of February and take it, and then we have the nerve to say, or my favorite word of February, we have the audacity to say that God doesn't give to me, and God gave it, but he took it away. God didn't give it and take it away. You keep surrounding yourself with the suckers that are sucking and bleeding you dry. It's not that he's not pouring. It's that we're not holding on to and retaining. Verse 27, there's one word that will wreck your theology. When the rains and floods come. Not if. When. They're not coming from God. But Jesus declares, hey, there's a storm a-brewing. You know what's always amazing to me, church? That when these hurricanes blow in, that we have the technology now that meteorologists will stand on TV and for 10 days, say there's a hurricane coming. This hurricane, when it hits, is going to be an F5, an F4. It's going to have 170-mile-an-hour winds. It's going to do some damage. That storm surge is going to be 16 feet. And you got somebody standing out on their front yard that doesn't know how tall 16 feet is. Or they don't believe the meteorology. And this is not someone just saying that it might rain or it's not. They're saying we have sent a rocket into outer space called a satellite. And we can see this thing the size of Texas spinning in the Gulf. And it's going to hit your house in 48 hours. And you got the toothless wonder standing out there saying, I reckon we're going to ride this one out. And that same person, listen, church, got to apply it to the spiritual now. That same person 4 days later will be complaining why FEMA hasn't showed up quick enough. They will be trapped on their roof wondering when help is going to come. And here's the thing, FEMA's on its way. Help is going to show up, But you got to hope that you live long enough to get to the help. I am here to tell you, God's word is a firm foundation. And Jesus is saying, there's a storm a brewing, but if you do this, 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 and this, he said, the waters are going to rise, the rain's going to come down, the wind is going to blow, but guess what? Your house will not collapse. It's my guarantee. I'm out of time. When the rain, when the rain and floods come and the winds beat against the house of the man who builds it on sand, it will collapse. Here's a different guarantee. We love the guarantees that talk about the favor, blessing, and protection of God. But here's something that Jesus said. If you don't have my word as the foundation, your house will fall. Your house will be in disorder. Your marriage will have problems. You say, why would he say that? He's not putting that on you. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's why you need the word of God, to prevent the adversary from doing that. Check this out. Remember, two side-by-side lots. One man dug until he found the stone, the rock to build on. The other wanted it quick, didn't want to do it right, and started building on top of the sand. The same storm shows up, church. Same run, rain, same flood, same wind, same storm. But I love this, church. Different results. Here's the thing, church. Same storm, different foundations. Same storms, different foundations. You're working next to the person in the cubicle. Same storm. It doesn't affect you like it affects them. Same economy, we're all living in it, doesn't affect you like it affects them. Same thing going on with COVID, here we are, we outlived it 4 years later. It's amazing to me. Same storm, different results. Explain it, Pastor. One word, Jesus. He's my foundation. He's my foundation. Same storm. But Jesus said, so if you build your house on the solid rock, he says, if you've heard my teachings and you followed them and you're operating with wisdom, same storm, different foundation. Stand on your feet. I love Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I got a lot of books up here, but I'd love to write a book on 5, 6, and 7. But I love the epitaph to this great Sermon on the Mount. After Jesus has laid out foundational truth after foundational truth, and he has shared. And I like to think that Jesus preaches with some fire. Like Jesus has just got through preaching this masterpiece, verse 28. And when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowd was amazed at his teaching. Verse 29. For Jesus taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. Here's the final point of this entire 6-week message. Jesus taught with authority so you and I could live with authority. He taught it so that we could live it. So here's my question before the altars. Actually, the altars are always open. But before a formal altar appeal, here's my question. If Jesus taught it with authority, if he died to give you and give me that authority, why are we living?